If you have a guest that is dropping every other word, then you may want to take some of those out. But it doesn't have to be all of them. And then also, too, like, I try to keep our shows natural sounding, like a natural flow, like we're having a conversation. And that's how I do the editing.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcast. This episode's going to be a little bit different because usually, you know how we do, every even episode is solo, or every even or every odd number is either solo or an interview. For the next couple of episodes, probably like four of them, I'm going to actually push out interview episodes during solo episode days, only because we have so many extra interview episodes that are going all the way through past the end of the year. And so I want to bring you that great content, and I'll take a break from the solos just for a few weeks and we'll jump right back in. So this interview, although it's supposed to be a solo episode, it's going to be an interview episode. So let's dive in and you can get the value that this guest has.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And today I'm joined with Chris Smith, who's a two-time podcaster. Can you hear that?
Thank you. Yeah, I can hear that. Yeah.
He and his woman started a podcast called The Chris and Christine Show.
Christine Show.
I hope I'm not the only person who would ever mess up that name. I think it could be easily messed up. I feel bad because it's right in front of me. I'm literally reading it and I say it wrong because I'm dyslexic. But The Chris and Christine Show. You don't even have to worry how to spell it. Just scroll down, click the link. It's already in the show notes. But also, he started a podcast about podcasting, similar to this show in a way, but more of an emphasis on audio quality. How do you get your guests to sound good? How do you get you to sound good? What equipment do you use? If you've got a co-host, how do you make it so your volumes are the same? So this is a lot of what I'm going to ask Chris about, since he's the expert in that. He's got all these shows and a lot of people ask him, how do you do this? What equipment are you using? What way do you do this? How do you change this volume? And also, crazy story about Chris, he does all of his own editing and post-production. So he's the one creating the artwork. He's the one bringing in the intro, the outro. He's the one who's doing all of that. So I just want for you to understand that. So a lot of the questions that we're going to ask are going to help you in case, just in case. It's not that I suggest that you run your own show, but if you are running your own show and you want the best amount of quality, then you're going to get a lot out of today's episode from Chris Smith. Hey, Chris. Chris, your bio's already in the show notes, so my listener can just read that at their own leisure. The link to your first and second podcast is also in the show notes, so they can go and check you out. By the way, he has something like 170-ish episodes on one show and like getting close to 100 on the other show. So he's got a lot of experience and we're going to extract that. But I want to start here because, Chris, your podcast isn't the type of moneymaker that I think I usually talk to my listener about. The person who's hearing this show, for the most part, cares a lot about, they might be a coach or a mentor, and they want to make a couple hundred grand a year just because they have a podcast and that they want that podcast to do it. You're doing it a little bit differently, and I want to point that out as we start, because you're doing it basically because it's a passion, it seems like. So take it away. What I want to hear is, why did you start your first podcast? What was your background with some of this radio? And why did you start the second podcast? And so it's a lot of questions, but I think you got it.
Oh, thanks, Adam. Thank you so much for being here. It's quite a treat to be here on this whole Zoom thing. Usually I don't do Zooms because I'm all about audio, but we'll get more into that later. But as far as radio goes, I was in college radio way back in the day. I mean, so long ago, we had these cart things. You'd slam into this machine. It looked like an 8-track. And we'd slam them in there and play the audio and the music, and actually had this turn dial. Like, it was a weird mixing console, so old school. It's like probably from like the 70s. They just handed it to the college. They just got like the leftover junk from the radio stations back in the day. Anyways, I did that for a while. And I think around the same time, I started doing these like cassette mixtapes for my friends. I would like, I had a mixing console I bought from home for like at Radio Shack. And I was like using that to like make mixes with music and my voice and talk over, kind of like pretend to play radio around the same time. So I did that for a little while and I never went into that career wise. I think around the same time, I wasn't as focused as I am probably now. I guess I partied a little too much back then. And so I kind of got sidetracked with some drugs and alcohol and things like that. And because of those things, I kind of had to make a career choice, a career decision to kind of go in a different route with my life, so to speak. So I think what happened then is that I was working for a few different companies doing like parts delivery driving for like Napa Auto Parts and other things like that. And I had a few friends of mine that were going into truck driving school. They're going to truck driving. They had a company that was doing free like courses to be a truck driver, which they don't do anymore because, you know, it's so expensive. Anyway, so they did that and they said they're making good money driving, but it was local. I said, I don't want to drive cross country. I want to be here in town. And they said, yeah, you can totally work here in town. There's lots of jobs in town. So I kind of fell into that direction, got my Class A, got all my commercial endorsements. And I've been for the last 20 years now, if I think about it, 20 years I've had a truck driving license and I've worked locally for the last 20 years truck driving. And today, I've been driving for the same company for like the last 10 years. I've been driving for a gasoline tanker company delivering gas locally around San Diego. And I've been doing that for a while. I'm getting kind of burnt out on it. And when it came to the podcast, so free for podcasting, I kind of discovered podcasting because I was listening to a lot of morning radio, especially when you're driving in the morning. When you're in the vehicle driving, that's all you got. You don't have a TV to watch. You're listening to the radio. So because I'm listening to the radio so much, I discovered podcasting because I love morning shows. Oh my God. I was a morning radio show junkie. Like, I had my favorite shows. I never missed a day, listened to it start to finish. I went to all their events. I went on their trips. I met them in person. I've been to the radio station. I've been inside the studio during a morning show. I think this is so pretty cool. And then, they came out in podcasting because they were repurposing their morning show on a podcast so I can listen to it when I worked at night because I switched from mornings to nights. So like, that's great. So for my early days of podcasting, it was basically listening to the repurposed morning show broadcast in the evening, which is great because I figure I can listen to it whenever I wanted to listen to it. So that's my early days of podcasting. There was a few other shows I listened to, but for the most part, they're mostly just like the morning show replays, which was great. And then 2019 comes around and my son had an Xbox and he wanted me to order him one of those headsets for your Xbox so you can talk to your friends and do the chat with or whatever. It's okay, great. I ordered this cheap little headset. It comes in the mail. And I'm like, I'm playing with the thing. I said, let me hook it to the computer and just see what this thing can do. So I hook it up to my old computer and I start talking into whatever free program was on Windows. I don't know. And I'm like, hey, I wonder if I can do a podcast with this stupid thing. So I said, hey, Christine, hey, do you want to do a podcast? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. What are we going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll just figure it out. Let's do this. So then I went on Amazon and I ordered like two cheap like microphones, like the cheapest stuff we had. And it were two cheap headphones. And I was like, let's just get this thing off the ground and just see if we like it. We'll just do five episodes. Let's try this. We'll just see, you know, for fun. So the first episode, it was a little rough. We had a few topics we talked about, but I was nervous, you know, I was doing it. And then we did the first episode and we had a few people listen to it, friends and family. And some of our coworkers liked it. And they said, oh, you guys sound great. You get like, really? Our show sounded great. What are you talking about? Did you listen to the same thing we listened to? And so we made a second one and then a third one, brought the kids in. They had fun doing it. And then by I think the 20th episode, I said, Christine, we like this. People seem to like this. Why don't we upgrade the gear to something better than these crappy USB microphones we have plugged into the computer? Why don't we get something decent? So we upgraded from two $20 microphones, which was kind of hard to plug into the computer, like getting those to plug into the computer and get the computer to record everything. Like, we recorded everything on a single mono track and we didn't know what we were doing and stuff and all that. But so when I upgraded to the equipment I just had, I upgraded to the Behringer 404 interface. It's the four channel one. with ATR 2100 microphones. We upgraded to that. And then we were running that for a long time. And then eventually got the pod mics. And then last week, I just got the new Rodecaster Pro 2. But during the first year, people are saying, after we upgraded and stuff, they're saying, how does your audio sound great? Everything sounds so great. And I'm scratching my head like, wait a second. Yours doesn't? Like, how? Like, I just have like super cheap, like the gear wasn't very expensive. Like, it's, I mean, all in budget, we're talking maybe $200, you know, or maybe $300, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. It wasn't a lot. And I'm like, how is yours not sound like, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing that you're not doing? And so then I started Podtastic Audio to help other podcasters figure out how to make their audio sound as good as we were making for our show. Basically, it was like a behind the scenes on how we made the Chris and Christine show happen.
All right, here we go. Where to start? You were truck driving for 10 years. You started getting burnt out. You discovered podcasting. You were listening at night. Why, random question, I have so many.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why does gasoline delivery have to happen at night? Or do you just do it at night because you want to?
Yeah. So they're at our company and most companies, they have two shifts. They have it's like a 12-hour shift usually. So you have a day shift and a night shift. I've worked both. I've worked the night shift more often than I've worked the day shift. Think about this. There's a 3 o'clock start, whether it's 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. Now you tell me which time in the morning you want to wake up at. You want to wake up at 2 a.m. to be at work at 3 a.m. or you rather be, you know, work till, you know, you have to go to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like what I do. So, and it's made it easier for our family, made it easier for our schedule and stuff too. Because when you work the morning shift, it was so horrible because even on my day off, like I was waking up at 6 a.m., like wide awake, ready to go because my body is adjusted to that time slot. And then like at night, just the opposite, I would like pass out like 10 o'clock, like I'd be done, you know? It's same job, just two different shifts.
Okay. One other thing. So I believe a lot of people who listen to this episode will probably be able to relate, where not that they specifically work at night or in the morning, that probably doesn't matter. But the point that they do have a full-time job of some sorts, whether they're wearing a suit to work or whether they're out doing landscaping, bartending, I believe that our listener probably can relate to you having to overcome the fact that you've got a full-time job and maybe even kids and maybe even a spouse.
Right.
Know? And so I've got a lot of really great questions for you about the nerves that you had here coming in a second. But what I want to understand now is you're editing your own podcast, which I'd never recommend because it is time consuming. It takes extra time to do it. The listener's probably wondering, how does he have time to be married? How does he have time with his kids? How does he have time to get guests? How does he have time for not just one podcast, but two podcasts? And he also is working full time. Like, they might think that it's not true. They might say he's pulling my chain for sure. But if you could just help explain it in terms of for somebody who just doesn't feel like they have the time to start a podcast because they have a full-time job or because they're married or whatever. Let's get some inspiration for that person.
Okay. First things first is that when I designed the Chris and Christine show, like my only experience with audio really for the most part was radio and radio production and like live radio format, like the morning show. It's all live. They don't have a chance to retake and do over. It's what they say is what goes out and over the air. So if you look at it from that perspective, and I deconstruct the podcast, I always think of like the end result in mind, like what's the listener going to hear at the end? Let's go backwards and figure this out. So as far as editing goes, one thing about editing, like, I edit my own shows, but I edit in a way to make it seem that I don't edit, but I really do. If that makes sense. In the beginning of the podcasting days, like the first, I don't know, 50 episodes or whatever of the Chris and Christine show, I did a lot of editing. I was up all night, like slicing and dicing all the different gaps and different words and slicing and dicing. Now I don't do that at all, to tell you the truth. I really don't do that at all. I edit for sound quality and clarity and make it sound phenomenal, but the best I can for what we have. Like, our room isn't sound treated. We don't have like that kind of stuff. So for what I can do, I do what the best I can. I have a few tricks up my sleeve, a few tools that I've used, I found over the years that help out with all that stuff. I think like the elements I just said, I don't think that is as important to remove as people make it seem to be. You know, it just depends. It depends who your guest is. If you have a guest that is dropping every other word, then you may want to take some of those out. But it doesn't have to be all of them. And then also, too, like, I try to keep our shows natural sounding, like a natural flow, like we're having a conversation. And that's how I do the editing. As far as like I guess I'm pretty good at it. I get pretty quick at it because I know what I want to do with the editing. So that's how I kind of do it, if that makes sense. So, but I don't spend a lot of time editing, really.
Okay. I'm getting a ton. You give a lot of details in your answers to questions. So I'm going to have to bounce around because I don't see a way to just like methodically move through this in any certain way. So I'm just going to hit every question that I have and just kind of understand it. Next question is, you said you were nervous, and that's another thing that I really think that the listener can relate to. And there could be a little bit of overwhelm for us. Like what we're saying, well, even Chris is nervous, but he did a radio show in college and I didn't. It's like the two things that I want to understand is, how do you get over being nervous? And also, are you still being nervous even on the next episode you're about to record with your wife?
That, I think having her in the room and having us together doing this together helped ease the nerves a bit. I think the reason I was nervous on the first episode was we did something with the computer because I had an old computer and these microphones were USB. And I heard, because I did a lot of research on podcasting, and they said, you should really listen to yourself as you talk. I said, great, I'll figure that out. So then the problem is, if you're not using like a Rodecaster or something like that, and you're plugging directly USB into the computer, and you're plugging headphones right out of the headphone on the computer to listen to yourself, you're going to hear like a little bit of a delay. You're going to hear like a half second, like a latency delay. And for the first 20 episodes, we were kind of struggling to work through that. And especially on the first episode, I was nervous. Plus, I had the delay happening in my headphones. So I was kind of slurring my words a little bit and dragging them out. So that comes across on the first episode when you hear that. And I think once I got rid of that stuff, it was a little easier to do it. But that was until like the 20th episode. So as far as nerves go, I don't get nervous much on the microphone. I think I probably get more nervous on video than because someone's looking and stuff. But when it's just me on the microphone, nobody can see me or nothing. And that's why I love the audio so much, is that I can do it wearing whatever I want to wear. I can do it however I want to do it. There's no judging or anything like that. We just talk and
you do it in the nude then?
Yeah, but sometimes, but
so not, random, not really. you don't use the video? You don't like record video purposefully just to repurpose it and turn it into extra marketing or anything?
Well, here's the thing. With our podcast, ours, like for me, it's like, am I gonna watch the video? No. I can't watch videos when I'm at work, but I can listen to podcasts and listen to audio. So audio is easier to do. All of our interviews are all done with audio only. They're not done video at all. And with our setup, like I know you can see here, but like that couch behind me is where Christine sits. I'm facing the computer. So if we were doing video, I don't know how that would work out very well. Like maybe we've got a camera set up, like a tripod in this room or something or whatever, but I don't think I see a need for it. For me, for video, it's like, if you've seen from our website, it's all like family vacations and trips and GoPro videos and outdoor adventures and things like those are kind of videos that I like to watch and shoot versus the talking head videos. Like I can't, like if a podcast is on YouTube and they're doing an hour long show of just talking heads on the Zoom thing, I'm out. I'm checked out. I'm like, okay, you know, I'd rather just listen to this and do something else. Like I don't need to see your face.
Yeah, I get it. One thing that Chris did and should not have done, I'm so pissed. Oh no, what's that? You pointed at a couch behind you. It's only good for the viewer.
That's our green room.
So what I want to share with you, the listener, is if you do have what I have, which is we are recording video and we're recording audio and we'll repurpose both, don't let you yourself fall into the trap or your guest or your co-host hold up a book or say, see that couch behind there, or here's a picture of my son. Isn't he cute? Because it's going to let all of your listeners feel left out. So you probably, as the listener, you probably felt a little left out when he's like, see that couch over there? That's where she sits. Because you're just having to do it from memory, from imagination. So just remember, when you're recording your own stuff and you do have video and audio, let it be an audio experience either way. Let it be like naturally audio. All right, let's jump into, I've got so many questions for you. I don't even think we're going to have anywhere near time enough to get through all these. I liked that you said, really? Our show sounded great to your friends and to your coworkers. Wait, are we listening to the same show? You're talking about the one that I did with my baby. And you're saying that sounded good? So this is just an imposter syndrome. So if you're listening, you're going to feel this too. You're going to feel this. You're going to put out that content. It's going to be great content, most likely. But it's hard to accept and acknowledge and appreciate that others really do like it. So it'll take a little bit of time for you as well, just like I think it did for Chris. Now he knows he's rocking it. Chris, you mentioned Zoom and single mono track. So I'm curious. I am an advocate for Zoom. I'm one of the only people because I think that the audio is fine enough. I think that the video is fine enough. And I love how it can integrate with my Calendly. So I've got this Calendly and people can book it and Zoom will create a unique link just for that event. It'll send them a calendar invite. Like I do nothing. I don't have to go and get a link. And not everybody has my same personal link. They all have their own unique link. So if it was all my personal, then I'd have people jumping in while I was doing other recordings. And one of the reasons why that's important for me is because I'm going to record today 4 episodes, which is not a lot, five or six episodes. And as I do that, I think it's really helpful to make it easy on me so that I never have to send a link, figure out a link. Nobody can double jump onto the link an hour before their meeting. They jump in on a different one. And I think the audio and video work out just fine. The listener wants to know what you do and why is it different than Adam? It's Zoom versus what? What else are you going to do?
Okay, so we don't use Zoom at all. Christine uses it for work all the time. I'm using it maybe for a couple things. Maybe a therapy session here and there. That's about it. That's about as far as Zoom goes. I think it's fine. It's easy to use. People love using it because they're familiar with it. It works. It does the job. For me, when Christine and I, we had our very first interview we did, I think it was episode 23. And we did it via the phone through Google. I think it was Google Voice. I don't know if they're still around anymore. But the tricky part for me was, okay, I get the recording going. I get the guests on the line. How do we get it recorded, you know? So I had to trick the computer to figure that out. It sounded okay. It had the phone call sound. But then after that, I'm like, this was fun. Let's have more guests on the show. Let's figure out a way to do this. And I said, well, I want an easier way to do it than the way we did it because it seemed a little awkward, a little clunky, you know? So Christine used Zoom before, and I think we tried Zoom, but like just two of us. And I think that's okay, but how do we figure this out? Like, how do we get it recorded? And so then I just Googled different like recording platforms, like podcast host, guest remote podcast platforms. And I came across one called CleanFeed. And I was like, huh, it's free? Okay, all right, let's try it. Let's give it a shot. Like, you should always test out whatever gear you're using. Always do a demo run on a thing before you actually do it live with a potential guest. Always, you know, run through it. So Christine and I ran test runs with CleanFeed. And I was like, holy crap. It sounds just the same as if you're in the same room. Like I'm listening to the audio. I'm comparing the audio to like, I'm showing the different audio levels. I'm looking at them. I'm looking at the actual audio. And I'm like, wow, I can't tell the difference between what's here and what's outside. I said, I think we're on to something. I said, imagine if we have a guest come in through this thing and then it all sounds like super clean and clear. Like it all sounds great. Like how is it even possible to do this? So we ran a few tests. We had a few guests come on through via CleanFeed. The free version, by the way, and sounded great if everybody has the appropriate equipment. If they don't have the appropriate equipment, then you get a lot of echo feedback and things like that, and it's a nightmare. So we quickly upgraded to the CleanFeed Pro version, And ever since then, we've been running it ever since. And all of our interviews, ever since like the 30 or 33, have all been done like via Clean Feed. They've all done the same way. I love Clean Feed. We've both had a chance to talk to the creators of Clean Feed twice, and they're really nice guys. It's designed in the UK. So Clean Feed was designed for radio broadcastings. Like one station is one station's here, one station's there, and they connect via Clean Feed, you know, show together. In fact, they just won an Emmy, the Emmys for radio and TV production.
That's cool. That's cool. I really want to get into audio quality, guests and co-hosts. I've got some stuff. So mono track, Clean Feed has dual track. And why is that important?
Okay, Clean Feed, you want to have multi-track recording if you can. If you can have every single person on their own individual track, every person in the conversation, whether it's you, your co-host, your guest, every single person. That way, if one person has a buzzing sound in their audio, you can kind of isolate that and get rid of that if you can. If one person's too quiet, you can bring them up. One person's too loud, you can bring them down. It makes it super easy for leveling all everyone's audio, make everybody sound great individually. If somebody coughs in one microphone while one person's talking, you can take that out without interrupting the flow of the conversation. If somebody's a dog barking in their microphone, you can take care of that without interrupting the guy talking. It makes editing, makes it sound so much easier. It's so much better. I mean, you can put everything on one track and let it rip, go right ahead, do it if you want. That's up to you. But yeah, I like to make everything sound clean as I possibly can.
How about this? One of the takeaways that I hear you doing or mentioning is on your podcast, your second podcast, the Podtastic Audio. On that one, it sounds like part of the purpose behind it is to help people sound really good without spending an arm and a leg.
Right.
So this raises a question. You've bought a Rodecaster Pro 2, which I'm quite jealous because I only have the original Rodecaster Pro.
Right.
And I always want the best and I got to keep up with the Joneses. So I just sound cool, calm and collected. But with the Rodecaster Pro 2, it's not cheap. And you just did a recent episode. I think it was like episode 74 or something like that. Was literally about the first time you were using your Rodecaster. And I'm just curious, like, I didn't listen to that episode, so I want you to give us kind of the short version of it.
Okay.
Like, do you think we need to buy a Rodecaster Pro or a Rodecaster Pro 2? And if not, why did you buy it?
Okay. Well, let's go back to the reason why I bought it in the first place, because I've always wanted the Rodecaster 1. I was jealous. You got the 1. I was jealous of that. So my wife was saying, that's too expensive. Let's not waste your money on this. That's not, our audio sounds fine. Our podcast is fine. Our equipment works great. We're using the old audio interface, which is down over there somewhere. And I'm like, it's kind of expensive. Let's just hold off. And then everybody kept telling me, dude, you got to buy one. I said, I don't know. And then I said, well, what if there's another one that comes out? Like, how dumb would I feel if I bought the 1 and the next week the 2 comes out? You know, it's like with the phones and stuff. And sure enough, it did, but it was more money and stuff. But I realized it's a lot of money. But a week before that, I bought the Rodecaster. I just sold my precious sports car for some money. And I always wanted to, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to something, you know, because I just sold my car. I'm going to take some of the proceeds. I'm going to buy something either, you know, because I was on the fence. Christine told me, said, do you want to buy the latest GoPro? Or do you want to buy the Rodecaster Pro 2? And I'm like, if I have a choice, I'd probably go with the Rodecaster. Rodecaster costs a little more than the GoPro does. So let's go with the Rodecaster Pro 2. So that's kind of how I did it. Now, as far as creating audio for basic, because I figure with this audio interface I was using, I think the total cost for it was like $170, $160 for the old audio interface we were using. And the Samsung QTUs and the ATR of 2100 microphones are what, $60, $70 or something like that. I don't even know now. But we were doing that for so many years, like almost 2 years on that equipment. I mean, we were still using the Behringer until I bought this last week. So, and everything sounded great with just that. So that's kind of where I am with this. I mean, and I always figured like if I could make it happen with no time, running around the clock, working the many hours I put in, creating both shows and doing all this different stuff, doing the artwork, doing the show artwork, creating the websites. I did a website myself. Everything's done. I did everything. Nobody's done anything. Nothing's been farmed out at all, except for our voice intro, for our intro for our show. That was farmed out, but that was it. And if I can do all this, then I'm like, why can't anybody else do this? You know?
All right. Well, bro, I want to ask you so many questions and I don't think I have enough time. Let me point out something that you said. You at one point today on this recording said that you deconstructed podcasts. You began with the end in mind. You go backwards and figure it out to create how it's going to be. And I think that's a really smart approach for another podcaster who is listening to approach things in that way. Begin with the end in mind, one of the 7 habits of highly effective people. Chris is effective because he's following one of those habits. Maybe all of them, but if you want to be effective, you should deconstruct, reverse engineer, begin with the end in mind, figure out where you want to go, how you want it to be, and work backwards from there. So he's created some system for himself where, like with cutting out ums and uhs, he doesn't have to edit out every single or Our team does a similar thing. We edit other people's shows, and our standard is it can't have more than 2 filler words within 3 sentences.
You got down to a science then.
I have 35 employees doing all the editing, producing, post-production, show notes for all these different podcasts, like 70 different podcasts. Because of that, we have to create a formula. If it was right, just me, I might do it one way sometimes and a different way sometimes. But if we create a standard, it makes it a little bit easier. So they'll listen if they hear 1 or 2 ums and it within 3 sentences, they'll just leave them. If they start hearing 3 or 4 ums or any other filler phrase like, okay, so, or, you know, and right. These filler words are unnecessary. And when they become overused and noticed, then it starts to sound annoying. When they're used rarely, 2 times within 3 sentences, most people don't notice. It just sounds completely natural. So, Chris, you mentioned you don't cut out all the ums. It doesn't have to be all of them. You just cut out the ones that start to sound annoying. And that's exactly what
right, the ones I catch too. When mostly it's when they have a guest on. The thing about a lot of the editing that I do, mostly it's when it's the guest interview part, because you don't know what they're going to do or what they're going to say, or what they're going to sound like. You're just going at the mercy of whatever they're going to say. So, or their equipment too, because you know what they're coming in. They could be coming on their phone or they could be coming into on whatever device they have. Hopefully it's good equipment. You hope for that, but it doesn't always happen. You know that. So I try to edit that the best I can, try to make them sound good. I even tell the guests, like, my job is make sure you sound great. And if you're going to come to me on a tin can phone from the 70s, like, okay, but you warn you that you're not going to sound that great. So, yeah. And we've had a guest come on. We've only done this like one time where we did not release the interview. And the reason why it was horrible. It was so boring. The guest was just giving like one word answers. She was supposed to be a comedian, but she was not funny at all. And I was just so like over it. And Christine's gave me like cut sign, cut the throat. Like, we totally told her like, oh, we're so busy when we get to it. And then we never released it. And she never asked. So whatever that, you know.
Dang. Well, I don't know how I feel about that. Let me deconstruct where you're coming from. Did you know that you can sell a deconstructed sandwich for more than a sandwich that's put together?
No way.
Because it sounds fancy. So you basically have bread in one place, meat in one place. You got cheese over here. You got the pickles over here. You got the mayonnaise on the side. And it's like, I'm lazy, too lazy to put together this sandwich. So I'm going to charge a premium and call it a deconstructed sandwich.
All for the name.
Yes. Well, anyway, let's deconstruct a couple of things. With this woman who came as a guest but never was published, I wonder why didn't you, and if I'm putting your back into a corner and you yell at me, I'm already sorry. Why didn't you just let her know, like, hey, we're not going to use that audio? Why did you let it like disappear and forget about it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think it was my fault. I did listen to her on another podcast, and I was like, she doesn't sound very good, but she likes going on podcast. I think when you're in early days of podcasting, like you're just getting any guest you can, you know, you're mm-hmm. just, whoever just says yes, you just, okay, great, go on. I think it was during those stages where you're like, yeah, okay, great. And I heard her on another show, another podcast. Okay, great. Come on. She came on. And I was kind of gathering whoever I could get on, not the right guest, just any guest. And I think it was during that time. And I was like, after I heard her on the show, and I was like, I did like cool with the audio sounded okay. It's just that her enthusiasm was not there at all. Like she was not interested in being there. It was just so like, it was so, you could just tell. So we're just like, we're not putting that out.
Yeah.
We're just letting this fall off and it's done, you know.
Before I let you finish the answer, I will share that I've cut off a couple of interviews or even coached my guest. I will be like, bro, you seem tired. It's coming across very boring. And I'm not going to keep recording this episode at that level. You've got to have some energy. You've got to be glad to be here or else we're not going to record. And sometimes that destroys the energy worse because now they're mad at me. Now they're like, oh, he's judging me. He's going to pay attention. I'm not sure what to do now. But sometimes it actually boosts it up. And so we'll stop and we'll re-record and then we'll both come in with an energy level above a 5. You know, that's all I'm really asking for is there's average and we need to be at a 6 or a 7. Or else there's no point to doing this. If we sound as a standard or even below normal, it's going to come across to the listener as we hate being here. We don't want to talk about this. We don't know anything about what we're talking about. So it's like, I will be like, bro, this is how you're coming across. I need you to up it or we're going to stop it. What do you want to do? And they're like, okay, I'll try to go up. And if they do, then we'll have a good one. But I want you to finish answering this question, Chris. Just like, why didn't you tell her? Why did you let it just kind of like not happen?
I don't know. I think I just let it go. It was during the peak of COVID when everyone was sitting around. Everyone was bored. And it was kind of bounced around different shows, different things. And I think I met her on Twitter. And then eventually she like either fell off or stopped posting things or whatever. So I was like, okay, whatever.
So it wasn't because it was like awkward or scary and like you didn't know how to approach it. It was more busy.
That too. A little bit of everything. You know, you get busy with other things and you kind of like don't care. You're like, whatever. And what I was saying about the guest thing is that we have a Calendly also. We use Calendly for our guests for this show, for Podcasting and for the Chris Christine show. Mm-hmm. And we wrote up a few questions in there. And one of the ones we put in there is that we reserve the right to air this or not air this episode. And we put that in the check yes or no. We put things like that in place because of situations like that. That way, if they say, where's our episode at? And I can pull up the Calendly thing and say, here you go. It's what you mark. You know, we have the rights not to air it. If you can go one step further, I guess you can always put in there, like, if this interview does not bring value to this podcast or to my listener, I reserve the right to not release this episode. Check
that's good. No. That's good, man. That's good.
Some people get kind of offended by that stuff. Some people get kind of like, well, how dare you or whatever. But for the most part, people check it and they don't even bat an eye. You know?
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Here's where we should go now. Here's the place. If you're okay with this, if you're not, I am not airing this, Chris. Will not air this episode. Here, what I wanted to find out is you'd mentioned earlier, I edit for sound quality and you've learned a few tricks through this time and you've learned and come across a few tools that you use. We've got CleanFeed, which my team is now being instructed, hey, make sure you find CleanFeed, put the link in the show notes so that it's really easy for the listener. I edit for sound quality. You've learned a few tricks and a few tools. What I'd like you to do is give us your top 3 tricks or tools that help us to be able to make the sound sound better.
Okay.
I guess I should say the audio sound better.
That's right. Okay. First things first, what I like to do is make sure that if you're talking to a microphone, make sure that the gain level on the microphone is fairly at a fairly decent level. You want to record quietly, like too quiet, because if you record too quiet, it's, you know, it's going to sound quiet. So you want to make sure it's, I say like a little, boost it a little bit, just enough, not a ton, but just enough. And then also, of course, if we have a guest coming in, clean feed, because they do give the cleanest audio. Like with clean feed, when I talk to the guys, how it actually works is that like Zoom here, they do compression on the audio before it gets to me and gets to you. That's why it sounds that Zoom sound to it. Clean feed does not do that at all. Is whatever it comes into the microphone is the exact representation. It's going to come to you on your end. Exactly. So that's why it sounds so good. It happens in real time live like that, which is fantastic. So get the cleanest audio you can from the start, right? And as far as making the audio sound good between as many people on the call, say it was me, you, four other people, make everybody sound fairly good in one shot, one tool to do it all. I came across this tool years ago. It's an older tool. It's an old platform. It's called the Levelator. Or Levelator. It's in, I have a Mac computer. It's in Mac under the App Store. Or you can, you have to find an old download on Windows somewhere. It's called the Levelator. It's totally free. And once I found this, oh my goodness, this has been like my magic button for all the good sound. Like if there's one thing to use that's totally free to make your audio sound great, is the Levelator. Because it basically takes all your audio, you run it through Levelator, and it levels all the audio, makes it louder, makes it brighter, and it kind of levels everybody out. It's not a miracle worker. Like if you have somebody talking like a mouse really quiet and you have somebody shouting, it's not going to make them the exact same, but it's going to make them to where you can hear them both in the same, you know. And the thing too is that with audio, one thing I can't stand is that like I try to make the audio set at one level. When I go from one segment to the next, I want to make sure it all sounds pretty close to the same, to where the listener, when they're listening, they're not changing their volume knob. They're not touching. They set it once and they forget it. They don't have to worry about it ever again.
Yeah.
A lot of these shows, I listen to one show so bad. This is actually the guy that reached out to me. He had a guest on. It was like super loud and he was super quiet, like so quiet. I had to go back and forth with full blast, quiet between what they were saying. And I said, after like 5 minutes of that, I'm out. I'm done. I'm checked out. You know, I can't.
I got to say, I'm 100% with you. And actually, one of my, can be called an idol. I think he can pretty close to be called an idol. His name's Joe Fairless. He's somebody I really respect a lot. He's had a podcast for many years. He's actually the longest running daily real estate podcast in the world right now. So I think he's got over 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 episodes or something insane. He's been doing it for like 7 or 8 years now. And on his podcast, when I used to listen to it, it might have been 3-4 years ago, he was into it maybe 5-6 years. There was a lot of times, and sometimes worse than others, but there were many, many times what either the guest was too loud and he was too quiet, or vice versa. I don't recall. But like you said, when you're listening to that person's, and it's like you're driving or whatever you're doing, you're cooking, you're at the gym, there's background noise. And one of the persons is so quiet that you got to go all the way up just to barely be able to tell what they're saying. And then the other person jumps in and you are cussing in the gym. You're like, while you're ripping them out of your ears because you weren't ready for that pain. And so you're like turning it down, putting it back in, and you're just like, I can't do this anymore. So I get it. I've seen it. And I try really hard. I think my team uses something like Levelator as well. I don't know if it's the same. The funny thing is, I don't know half the stuff my team does.
Okay.
I don't know what they do or how exactly they do it. I just let them do it and they manage themselves. But what I wanted to share is we definitely do level the audio because you're probably a little louder than me. I'm not sure. Like your sound right now.
I boosted my Rodecaster up. I want to make sure it sounded great.
But don't change it because when they get the files, they'll level it immediately. They'll make sure that we both are going to be a minus one. You know, we'll both be a minus one out of all of the minus 14s to plus 14s. And then that'll be, it'll keep everything. So every episode, that's a good, another point. every episode to episode is always the same because they bring all of them to the exact same level.
There you go.
So it's not just they can hear this one and then the next one they hear, it's not going to be this one was quiet, the next episode's loud, because they make sure that everything goes to a minus one. That's just how we do it. But I love that number three, the Levelator. We'll definitely put links to that, even though it's free. We can't make any money on our affiliate fees. That's okay. Cleanest audio from the start. I like that. I've heard garbage in, garbage out. And what that means to me is two things. It might maybe three-ish things. The environment that you're in. So what room are you in? Are you outside? Are you hearing dogs barking? Are you hearing sirens? Whatever. So the space that you're in, how you treat that space, the microphone that you use, and the interfaces that you're using. Like, for example, a Zoom. Zoom compresses it immediately, so it doesn't get as good as it could be. And you're using CleanFeed, which doesn't do that. So it can give you a better audio quality and a little bit more changeability. So garbage in, garbage out. And once you use Zoom and it already compresses it, you don't have a lot of choices after. So
unless you have a double ender, unless you're asking your guest to record on their end and you record on your end, but a lot of guests, they don't do that. So
yeah. I don't want to deal with four or five or six other people's audios and waiting for it and making sure that they all record. If I only had one a week or something, it would be a little bit different, but we publish anywhere from 8 to 12 episodes every month. So it's just like, I don't want to deal with that many. Just the idea of making sure that you're in a decent environment, a decent mic, you're using good equipment. I think Zoom's good enough, but you know, Chris has opted to use something better. So maybe take that into consideration. And then the number one advice that you had was to make sure your gain is at a decent level. And to me, that was a Goldilocks level. It's loud, but not too loud. It's not too loud, but it's not too quiet. You know, it's just, it's right where it needs to be. Somewhere in the middle where you're going to have really good sound. And I'll just give a quick example. This is my gain all the way up and you can hear my breaths way too much, right?
Right.
Or if it was too low, you wouldn't even be able to hardly hear me.
Right. Especially if you're doing something like this too. I said, once you get the audio, once you have the files that are separated, you can pretty much do what you want. You can still boost them. And I think for me, when it comes to like podcasting audio and showing people how to do this on the quote unquote cheap side, I should say, everything I do is like something that most of these new shows already do or have used. Like I'm using Anchor. I know most people hate Anchor, but I'm like, you know what? Most of these new shows that are starting out that have horrible audio, guess where they're at? They're at Anchor, right? So let's just go there and show you, like, I'm on Anchor too. And my show sounds great. So here we were in the same group, you know? And then also, like I use Audacity to do all the editing. I've learned on Audacity. I use Audacity. Audacity is 100% free. It's totally free. And it does a lot of cool stuff. And I do everything on Audacity. So there you go. It's free. It's another free thing you can do. Levelator, guess what? That's free too. I use Levelator for every episode. It's free. So all these things are free things I'm showing that the listener can do for free without spending a dime. Now we're already halfway there. All you need is a microphone. And you don't need to buy a Rodecaster Pro 2. You don't need that. You can just get a simple Q2U microphone. You'll plug it in your computer, USB or whatever. It's just you. That's the thing too. But you're just you by yourself doing your own show. And you're never, ever, like ever going to have another person in this room with you at the same time. Then you just need one microphone. That's all you do. And you're good to go.
Awesome. Chris from the Chris and Christine Show. Links in the show notes. From the Potastic Audio, links in the show notes. And Chris, is you got your website? Is that going to be in the show notes as well? Did you already send it to us?
It is. It's chrisangerstein.com. It doesn't matter how you spell it, chrisangerstein.com.
Cool. Awesome. Well, go check out those podcasts, especially go check out the audio one just to see if it's going to give you some tips and tricks that maybe we're not getting on this podcast. Because he thinks of podcasting in a different way than we do on this show. We're more thinking about getting a bigger audience, making more influence. Obviously, we want you to sound good, but I don't have the same type of feedback that Chris is going to share on his podcast. So go and check it out. See what it can do to help you. Give him a rating and review. Let him know what you think of the show. And if you're listening, and you are, I can almost see you now. So don't go anywhere. Just keep listening and I'll see you there. Oh, hey, because three of my clients came to me recently looking to find a way to have their podcast make them money instead of cost them money. We put together a resource for some of our clients, and I want to give it to you as well. It's something that did actually seem to help, because one of them is now making $2,600 a month. Another one's $4,500 a month. And the third is making between $5,000 and $10,000 each month. And so it's been a resource that's been incredibly valuable to them. It's our sponsor sheet template. It's a template of a sponsor sheet, and it gives you something that you can hand to potential sponsors and hopefully also be making $2,600, $4,500, or between $5,000 and $10,000 regularly each month with your podcast. So this has been a contributing factor to helping all three of those clients turn their podcast into an additional income stream for them. And the way that you can find it is just going to our website, growyourshow.com, but put in /templates, growyourshow.com/templates. And then you can actually download that template and others that could be valuable to your podcasting experience. I'll see you on the next episode.